Well, take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 42, please. Psalm 42. We started a series of messages of how to deal with how you feel. How to deal with how you feel. And tonight we'll deal with how to deal with how you feel when you feel totally depressed. When you feel totally depressed. We find a great saint of God. I believe he wrote this psalm. Some may think someone else did, but at any rate, I believe it reflects King David. Psalm 42, beginning with verse 1. As we look to the Word of God, listen to the Scriptures. As the hart, that's like a deer, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, Where's thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with the multitude, I went with them to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise with the multitude that kept holy day. Then he asked the question, Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? We might say, Why am I depressed? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites from the hill of Mizar. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me and my prayer unto the God of my life. I will say unto God, My rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with the sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, here it is again, Where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. I think you can surmise from these verses that David was a little bit down, that he was somewhat depressed. Do you ever get down? Do you ever feel that way? We all have times, I believe, of personal discouragement. It's just part of life. It's going to come to us, and we have times of that personal discouragement. You ever heard somebody say life is a bum deal? I've heard some Christians say life is a bum deal. It depends on what they were going through. But all of us have problems. We all just have different sets of problems. I have my problems. You have your problems. Those over there have their problems. They have their problems. We all have some problems. And most of the time, we don't talk about them publicly, most of us. But we all have problems, different sets of problems, but problems nevertheless. But the important thing is to understand that we should not go down defeated. God does not want us to do that. Sometimes you meet negative people, even in church gatherings. And you want to go up and ask them, how are you doing? But your great fear is they'll tell you how bad things are. And so you hold off because you sort of heard about their negative attitude. But facing problems without depression, how do we do that? Facing those difficult times without depression. David, as far as we know, was in Syria, what would be Syria today, or modern-day Iraq. Evidently, he had been taken there by enemies. And he was in distress. He was having problems. And they were making fun of him. David, you're serving God and you believe in God and all of those things. And where is your God? Why is your God letting this happen to you? Did you ever have the devil jump up on your shoulders and holler that in your ears? More or less. What if God loved you, why would he let these things happen to you? Why, doesn't God care? And we have some of those questions that come in our lives because of that. And they were asking him, Hey, David, where is your God? The one he said, why is my soul cast down? Why are you cast down? Oh, my soul. He was in a predicament. He had a lot of problems. Now, depression, let me define it a little bit here so we know what we're talking about. Depression is not just being disappointed. All of us get disappointed probably once a day or twice a day or a few times a day. There are disappointments. It isn't just discouragement, because we all face some discouragements. Depression is not just having the blues, because a lot of people have the blues. Most pastors I know have the blues on Monday morning. But you have the blues. We all have those times, and that is common. 2 Corinthians 4:8 says, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, having our problems, but thank God, not destroyed. Depression is something that is very, very serious, and we'll define it a little more in just a moment. But depression is not really caused by mental illness. That is a term that is used by the secular humanists who have followed the teachings of Freud and many that are like Freud down through the ages, and it is a clinical statement many times that is, when they cannot work it out and they cannot explain it, then they call it mental illness. Mental illness. But most mental illness is caused by S-I-N, sin. Now some of you, and I don't have time to go into all of this, I've studied it, I've taught it, and I've gone through all the material of Jay Adams, who is an authentic biblical counselor, and so on and so forth, but you'll just, without me going into details, take my word for it, most of the depression that people go through is not mental illness, it is caused by sin. And so when we define it, what is it? It is a spirit of heaviness. It is a spirit of gloom. It is something that continues to linger. It's like a dark cloud over somebody's head, and it just stays there and stays there and stays there. And it is something that eventually can cause them to be either dysfunctional, they don't function right, or it can cause them to come to the place where they think about and consider suicide as an alternative for what they're going through. But I believe that depression, as serious as it is, many times, most of the time, is caused by sin. Now, suicide is not a solution. You know, unsaved people especially, how in the world is that going to be a solution? I've had people that I had talked to about the Lord and they rejected Him, and I've had their funerals later. And it's a very difficult thing to have the funeral of somebody you know did not receive Jesus Christ and they took their own life. I've had teenagers, young people who took their life through huffing paint and did too much of that, and others who taken a gun and put it to their head or to their body and taken their lives. That's never the solution for any of those things. I read about a policeman one time, and there was a guy getting ready to jump off of a bridge, a high bridge. And so the policeman was in the traffic. The traffic was stopped, and so the policeman just jumped out. He was in his uniform, and he ran up there where the guy was. This has to do with taking some medicine, so try to understand that, all right? And so, anyway, he went up there to where the guy was, and he said, sir, don't take your life, don't take your life. And he started toward him. He said, stop, don't you come any further, or I'll jump, I'll take my life. He said, man, what could be so bad? And he said, well, I lost my investment the other day, and I just lost my job, found out I don't have a job anymore, and when my wife found it out 2 days ago, she left me, and I don't have any money whatsoever to do anything with. And he went on with a litany of all the problems, and the result was both of them jumped off the bridge. So, you know, some of you will figure that out after a while. You'll get it about midnight. But they both jumped off the bridge. Well, that's a joke, but There have been policemen who have stopped people, thank God for them, and they've stopped them and talked them out of it. But how do you deal with problems? How do you deal with these problems that come that can cause depression? And I do know that it is a problem and a challenge in a church. Now, what are some of the symptoms of depression? Let me just cover a few of those the next few minutes we have. One is an overwhelming sadness in one's life, or tears. They just go around weeping all the time. They have tears all the time. They're sad all the time. That, of course, are those things are signs of deep depression. Somebody might say something like this: I cannot believe that they did that to me. I can't believe that they dismissed me from my job. I can't believe that they treated me that way. I can't believe these things have happened to me. I just cannot believe it has happened to me. Now, here's one of the problems. The focus is on self. And when you get the focus on self, then you're going to have problems and be depressed, because that's the wrong focus. And they have overwhelming sadness or tears. And then one of the signs is a lack of confidence. People who are depressed sometimes, who were very confident people previous to that time, they are no longer confident. And they get to thinking, I didn't achieve what I should have achieved. I failed in some measure. And as a result of that, they don't know what to do. And they just ask themselves the question, why should I go on? I have not accomplished what I wanted to do. And so they become people that have a lack of confidence. I've seen pastors do that. I've seen Christian workers do that, because they didn't reach these things that they thought they should reach, numerical growth, so on and so forth. Then that happened to them. Another sign would be disorderliness. Disorderliness. You take a person that probably, now some, they've just always been that way, but somebody who has been neat and tidy and organized, and they try to do things right, and all of a sudden they just quit all of that. And now they're not tidy. Now they're not neat. Now they don't take care of things. That is a sign of somebody who has depression in their lives. Sometimes it's a loss of appetite. Looking around the room, including myself, I don't believe most of us are totally depressed, because that would be a loss of appetite for no physical reason. They just quit eating. Have you ever known anybody like that? Just quit eating. And what's the problem? Why do they do that? And you remember the story in the Bible of Ahab and Naboth and Jezebel. And Ahab wanted Naboth's vineyard. Man, I've got to have it. I've got to have it. And so he went to his wonderful queen, Jezebel, and began to cry and weep and laid on the bed. And he said, I'm not going to eat anymore. He was so depressed. I'm not going to eat anymore until I get Naboth's vineyard. She said, you just rest, honey. I'm the queen. I'll take care of it. And she had Naboth killed and got the vineyard. But he was depressed and whining and crying and all of those things that showed that he was not getting what he wanted. And again, it went back to the self-image. And then sometimes it's abusiveness. Some people who were never abusive will get very abusive, both physically and verbally. And by the way, may I say this, and I think the husbands have more problems than others with this, maybe not always, but verbal abuse can be as cutting and hurting as physical abuse in many ways. So we need to be careful what we say to our wife, or what the wives say to their husbands. But abusiveness, it would not be normal. They begin to curse when they would never have cursed any other time. They'll tell you off in a New York minute, because there's something wrong in their life. There's sin. There's something there. And it causes depression. Now, those are some of the symptoms. What are some of the causes? One of the things is handling a hard, unpleasant situation. A lot of people, when they are handling a hard, unpleasant situation, get depressed. And let me just give you the illustration that comes to my mind quicker than about anything else, and that is when you lose a loved one, at the loss of a loved one. Now, I'm not criticizing anybody for weeping during that time. Jesus said it, 1 Thessalonians, that you weep not, but don't weep as of those that have no hope. He He says, we have hope. We know we're going to see him again. But there are some people that stay depressed over the loss of a loved one, something they couldn't control, and something that's going to happen. By the way, you pray for your loved ones to be healed, and let me remind you, all healing is temporary. All healing is temporary. You're still going to die. It's all right to pray for healing, and if God heals, that's good, and God extends the years. But one of these days, one of you in a marriage relationship is going to die before the other one, unless you're killed in a wreck together or something of that nature. It's going to happen. But when that happens, it's all right to have a grieving process, but we should not be depressed over a period of years and years and years. And I have known people that have been depressed for years. And you're thinking, what's your problem? Why are you depressed? Why is there no happiness in your life and no joy in your life? And they'll begin to always go back and talk about, I can't believe, you know, that I lost my mate. And I'm not making fun of you, and I know that's difficult. But I'm telling you, God does not want you to remain depressed after you lose your mother, your daddy, or your brother, or your sister, or your mate. God does not want you to remain depressed. There might be some days that you'll have to fight it off, but God wants you to have victory over that. So handling a hard, unpleasant situation. There are many more illustrations. And then failing to achieve a goal. A lot of people fail to achieve a goal. Some of those goals are self-imposed, and some of those goals are mom and daddy imposed. But some children don't receive, they don't achieve their goals. It may be, I didn't make the team. And daddy all his life wanted Junior to make the team. Boy, you're going to be my star athlete. You're going to be a great shortstop. You're going to have a 300 batting average and on and on. And I've got great plans for you. You're going to be my man. And then when that doesn't happen, then they're depressed because they have not achieved the goals that their mother or daddy might have had for them. It may be a young lady who wanted to be a cheerleader, and she tried out, maybe at a Christian school, and she didn't make it. And then mom wonders, what's wrong with my daughter? And they feel depressed over that. And there are many other areas that would be the very same thing. And then the parent says, what's wrong with him? What's wrong with her? And the child begins to think, well, I've failed again. I've failed again. And that's a sad state of affairs. Then sometimes it's a terminal illness. A terminal illness. I've talked to people who were terminally ill who said, I want to end it all. I want to end it all. That's never the solution. God, if he extends your time in a terminal illness, he has a ministry for you that is your ministry, and somehow, some way, God allows that in his holy providence so that others can be touched, and he has selected you, though you may not believe it, and you might say, well, I wish you wouldn't select me, but he has selected you to be one of those that has a terminal illness so that you can bring honor and glory to God in that situation. And that is very depressing, especially if you're not saved. Can you imagine somebody that a doctor, they're not saved, and a doctor says, you're going to die in 3 months. You have a terminal illness and you're not going to be here in 3 months. How depressed do you think they would get? But I want to tell you, the answer to them is Jesus Christ. The answer is to be saved. The answer is to know Christ in a personal relationship, and that is so important. And then another thing would be when we are severely criticized, just continuously criticized. Well, I've been in the ministry 46 years now, and I've never been criticized one time, and God forgive me for lying in the pulpit. More than likely it happened today. But I have been highly criticized at times. I've been stopped on the way to the pulpit and just reamed out by people. That's always good timing. May I suggest that you call on Monday and set an appointment? We'll have a little more time to discuss it. But I've had them just bless me out. I've even had him cuss me out. You know, good Christian brother who's done that and criticized. And let me tell you, you'll never be a leader if you can't accept and go on when you're criticized. Now, some of it I deserve, but most of it I didn't deserve, I don't think. God will tell me when I get to heaven. But criticism can really hurt you. Husbands overcritical of their wives, wives overcritical of their husbands, parents overcritical of their children. And sometimes they just feel like, what's the use? And they get depressed and they get down and they have problems because of that. And if you're going to serve God, let me tell you, you're going to be criticized. Dr. Lakin said, if you don't want anybody to criticize you, say nothing, have nothing, and do nothing. Say nothing, have nothing, and do nothing. But if you're going to say something and have something and do something, you're going to be criticized, but bless God, stand up for Jesus no matter what. And just take the criticism and don't let it get you down. Oh, I'm not appreciated. No one told me they enjoyed my solo. No one told me they enjoyed my teaching. No one told me they enjoyed my preaching and all of that. We have to be careful with that. And you'll be criticized. My daddy was sort of a lay preacher. And he went to the eighth grade. He was one of 10 children, about like your family. And they adopted a couple. And so whenever it got time, daddy was the oldest, and it got time, his daddy was a preacher, and he would go out on these protracted meetings. He'd be gone 3 weeks at a time, maybe a month at a time. That's the way they did it back then. Well, daddy had to become the daddy. And so he was very knowledgeable in the Word of God. And though he didn't go past the eighth grade, I think it was, he knew that Bible. And he could get up and preach. I told him, I said, I don't know why you don't surrender to preach. I told him that one time. And he just felt like he wasn't educated enough. And I heard some PhDs who couldn't hold a light to his common sense preaching of the Word of God. And so, but one time I remember Daddy preached. And he preached a little too long, whatever that is. He preached, thank you, Mike, that helps. He preached a little too long, and one of the men in the church, Daddy was filling in, we didn't have a pastor, and one of the men who had a lot of money and all came up to him and said, Mr. Weaver, I enjoyed your message, but it sure took you forever to get it out. Well, Daddy should have taken that criticism and considered the source of the idiot that told him that. And just gone on about his business. But guess what he did? He let it bother him. And he quit church. And I was 12 years of age when he quit church. I never would have dreamed my daddy would quit going to church. But he got his feelings hurt and he quit church. And that's when I got in the most trouble of all of my life. And after that, Daddy got back in church. All I'm saying, I'm using Daddy's in heaven and I'll be glad to see him. But I'm telling you, on that occasion, he was dead wrong. He didn't take the criticism. He took it to heart. He let it depress him and bother him, and he wouldn't go back out there in that church. And here's the thing that I'm emphasizing. Your response is the key. Your response to whatever you're going through is the key. Depression is not caused by the event. Depression is not caused by the problem. It is caused by how you respond to the problem, how you respond to the trouble, how you respond to the pressure and the event. Just think of the matter of rain. When it rains, what do you hear? Half of the people say, oh, it's raining, and the women say, it's messing up my hair, and I didn't bring my umbrella. I can't believe this has happened. I'm on my way to church, and it's raining, and get my car dirty. I just washed it yesterday, and I'm going to have to go back and wash it again, and it rained, and I just can't believe that, and these things just happened, I didn't want it to rain. We had some plans. We had a picnic plan, and that didn't work out. Oh, my goodness, it's terrible it rained. But the others say, thank God for the rain. Thank God for the rain. We had a two-hour rain delay in Africa the other day. It's their winter over there. And we had a two-hour rain delay. They just rolled with the punches, didn't worry about it. When we got through, I got up and preached. We had a great service. All those things took place. But, boy, they were thankful for the rain. Let me tell you, they're thankful for the rain because in just a few months, Brother Mike, you know it'll be 130 degrees over there. I didn't hear any of them complaining about the rain. But that's our perspective. The rain comes from God. God gives it. We need it. It helps my water bill. Hallelujah. The Burleson water bill is horrible, and so is yours. But thank God for the rain. Amen. It makes the crops grow, makes the garden grow, and all those things. Thank God for that. And so if we're not careful, we'll let our circumstances make our life like a roller coaster. We're down and we're up, and we're down and we're up, and we're down and we're up. God seldom uses anybody like that. We need to be up. And you're going to have some times, and you're going to have some blues and all that. You get over it very quickly. And you say, hey, God's bigger than my problem. I can handle it with God's help. And God's going to sustain me. God's going to take care of me. And I'm going on. Going on for the glory of Almighty God. And we have to deal with it. And we need to deal with it biblically. Deal with it biblically. Sin causes depression. And if depression's what you have, and there's no other sin, then the depression becomes the sin. Because depression, if you hadn't noticed in the Bible, is a sin. Depression is not of God. Find it in the Bible. It is not of God. Depression is not, it is a lack of faith, and it is a lack of trusting God like we should. Now, I know that's very strong, but check it out in the Word of God. And what we need to learn to do is, if we're dealing with depression over a period of time, we need to confess it, 1 John 1:9, just like we would any other sin in our life, and get over it and go on and ask God to fill us afresh with the Holy Spirit and move on out. We need to approach wrong as a sin in our lives and go on with a positive attitude. I read about a little boy that was playing Little League, and they were playing, and it was 18-0. And his neighbor came up, and he was sitting over there, or was talking to him. He said, hey, how's it going? He said, not too good right now. But he said, what's the score? He said, 18-0, they're ahead. He said, well, doesn't that bother you? Doesn't that make you feel bad? He said, no, we hadn't even got up to bat yet. I mean, he had a positive outlook, didn't he? We hadn't even got up to bat yet. He was thinking, when we get up to bat, we'll get rid of that 11 and we'll go to 12 or 14 or whatever, or 18. We'll go on past that. There's an old saying, and it's been around a long time. That's why they call it an old saying. I just wanted to help some of you out. Life by the yard is hard, but life by the inch is a cinch. Don't take things so seriously in those areas. Life by the yard is hard, but life by the inch is a cinch. Just take it as it comes. And what we need to do many times is restructure our thinking. We get a grid in our brain. We get to thinking one certain way. We've been that way ever since. And we grow up and we get all this in our brain, a grid system that's there. And everything has to pass through that. We need to get it out. Get rid of it. Get it out. And change it. And restructure and revitalize. And that sometimes means some major changes. But that's all right. God will help you. And the Holy Spirit will help you. And I'm telling you, depression gets old. David, you can tell David was like, this is getting old. This depression is getting old. May I suggest to you, and some of you will not probably agree with this, I talked to Dr. Harold McNabb. He used to be on the staff at Liberty University years ago. And when I back in Harrisonburg, Virginia, and I had him come over and do a seminar and so on and so forth on medicines. Boy, was he an enlightening fellow to show me some of the side effects and many of the things that psychiatrists and psychologists give people because they claim they're mentally ill and all of that and what it does to them. But I'm telling you that drugs are not the ultimate answer. They're just not. And a psychiatrist will put people on Prozac. Prozac is not the answer. And other pills like that are not the answers to that. And depression, by the way, is not genetical. is not something you inherited. Oh, my Aunt Flossie, she was depressed all the time because she was in sin. That's probably why she was depressed all the time. And you think you inherited that from her. No, it's something you have to deal with. So where's our hope? Let's close it out. Psalm 42, verse 5. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God. Number one, get saved. Be sure you're saved. And then your hope is in the Lord, in God. In verse 8, he's saying, don't let circumstances dictate. Look at it. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime and in the night, his song shall be with me. A song in the night and my prayer unto the God of my life. And then verse 11, the latter part of that verse, where he's talking about a third thing, and that is to praise the Lord. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted? Verse 11 within me. Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the help of my countenance and my God. You want to get over depression, start praising the Lord. Amen. Just think of everything to praise him for, and you'll think of a lot of things, and just praise him. Just stop being depressed and blue and discouraged and start praising the Lord, and you'll pull out of those doldrums. God is there to help. In Africa, they would say it like this. God is good, the pastor would say, and all the congregation would say, all the time. God, let me say it. God is good. Now you say it.
All the time.
Let's practice one more time. God is good.
All the time.
And if you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
He is. He's good all the time. What a wonderful God we serve. Now, if we just get rid of self-centeredness and self-pity and begin to serve others, you want to know how to get over depression? Go out and find somebody with a need and help them out and repeat it about 10 times, and you'll get over your depression. Find somebody with a need, and they're all around us, and confess your sin of self-pity, and then serve God by serving others. And you'll pull out of that with God's help. We ought to be the happiest people on the face of the earth. We're saved, set apart unto God. We know we're going to heaven. I hope you know that. If not, get saved tonight if you don't know that. We ought to be the happiest people on the face of the earth. There'll be times of tears, but we ought to pull right out of that and be happy and give God the honor and the glory. Get our attention off of ourselves. Put our attention back on God where it belongs in others. And you're more apt to be happy and less apt to be discouraged or depressed. Let's stand, please. And Father, we pray now that you would just use thy word to speak to our hearts tonight from this occasion in the Psalms, in the life of a man of God that we all know was a great man of God, David. Lord, help us to have victory over sadness, depression, discouragement, all of these things. And Lord, if there's somebody here without Christ, I pray they'd be saved tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen.